Welcome back to the Roundtables Live broadcast from Barrington Stage Company on Union Street in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, to celebrate the company's commitment to the arts and for gaining national recognition for its superior quality productions and comprehensive educational program. Good morning, I'm Joe Donahue.
I'm Alan Chartok. For those of you keeping track of the Roundtable Ramblings, we're broadcasting from the main stage where the fabulous, I do mean fabulous, Fiddler on the Roof is currently up. Adam Claremont is at the controls here on the scene, and Dave Hopper is back at the studio in Master Control.
So we start things off by welcoming our host for the morning, the co-founder and artistic director of Barrington Stage, Julianne Boyd. Julie, good morning. Thank you so much for inviting us, for spoiling us. The bagels are amazing.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
How are you?
I'm great, Joe. Thank you so much for being here. We're thrilled that you and Alan and the team is here.
You know, it's a delight to have you here. I can't think of what it must be like for you, because you go, you put the whole season together. Then on top of that, you're directing. So what takes precedent? I mean, at some point, you have to be in the middle of working on a scene and somebody says, okay, but, you know, there's a cat in the basement.
Right. It happens all the time.
Right.
Or so-and-so is hoarse. They can't perform. Or what are we going to do? We need a, you know, ENT doctor or something like that. You know, it's very exciting. I think I thrive on this kind of excitement and having an artistic community, having people here. I mean, we want to support the artists. We want to support the community. And that's really exciting. It's great that it's 6 months of the year and not 12 months of the year. 12 months of the year, I don't know. I take lots of vacations, I have to tell you, between November and May.
And our hats off to the great Norman Boyd, your husband.
Yes, thank you.
A wonderful dentist who is always on the scene and always supportive. So
it's true.
I know that he was honored for the stage just the other night.
I was just so thrilled because it's true. You just can't do it without if you have a significant other or a husband or wife, then they have to be supportive or it really is almost impossible. I also don't need much sleep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's only one of, you know, it's one of the ways that I just keep on going. And then all of a sudden at the end of the season, I need lots of sleep.
Well, and the work is really cool, obviously. So it keeps you going. It seems to me when you just look at the beginning of this season of how you've started off with Fiddler in the main stage and then at the St. Germain stage, you have Dr. Ruth all the way. And it seems that perfectly encapsulates what it is you're trying to do here. You have wonderful standards, great Broadway classics that you're mounting, as well as having a world.
And Joe, may I add to that that the Wall Street Journal just gave a tremendous tip of the hat to Barrington Stage for saying, you know, this is where the great music of the Berkshires gets done.
Yeah, it's very, very exciting. I mean, the artists are happy. It's just an exciting place to be. And not only that, the audiences. I think when we first moved to Pittsfield, we were in Sheffield for 11
right.
years in southern Berkshire County, and now we're up here, and the community has really embraced us. They didn't have an arts organization all their own. It's sort of everything was around here. There was a museum, but not a performing arts organization. And the fact that now there's several here is very exciting, and I think the community of Pittsfield is charged up and excited. Our audience alone in Pittsfield grew when we got here. It was 8%. It's now 25% of our audience from the Pittsfield area. That's pretty amazing that we have gotten the locals, the residents of Berkshire County to come here. It also allows us to do more year-round theater insofar as that we go into really the end of October, and then we do something in February called a 10x10 play festival. So when you have a year-round audience, when it isn't so many people who are, you know, have their second homes in New York or Boston or Florida, but they're people who live here year-round. It makes a difference. It makes a difference. I like both of them. I may want both of them to be here, but to have that base is important.
And that strong educational component, that's such a part of the mission with the theater.
Yeah, we have a program called the Playwright Mentoring Project, which is for youth at risk in Pittsfield in North Adams, and it won a national award a couple of years ago. It won an award from the National Endowment of the Humanities, Arts and the Humanities, for being one of the top 15, you know, at-risk programs for students in the country. That is one of our main things that we do actually from October to April. So we do like lots of great professional theater, and then we embrace the kids. And we try to have those youth who are seriously at risk participate in activities. Some of them work here in the summer. One actually was in one of our plays, To Kill a Mockingbird. And so we try to keep them involved. It's not good enough just to get the kids, say, hey, we want to help you, and then drop them. You know, right. It's really about a continuum. And I think that's what we're really trying to do.
So, Julie, I guess I wanted to ask you about how you get the actors. Your actor, Tevye, in Fiddler on the Roof was so superb. Do you personally cast them, or do you find somebody to do that for you?
Brad Oscar, we should mention, who
Brad
is
Oscar,
going to be joining us later on.
Fabulous, just fabulous. We work with a casting director named Pat McCorkle in New York. We've worked with her for many years, but I go to all callback auditions for every show, and in the instance of Brad, we actually had another actor for Tevye, and he got the Road Company of Chicago and was making twice as much money. Can't blame him. He had a family.
Oh, yes,
and so
you
forth.
Can. Blame
I know,
him.
I know. Okay.
But we made out okay in Brad.
Yeah, so, you know, all for right. a couple of days, I was like, what are we going to do? And then what our casting director does, she sends out a notice to all of the agents saying, hey, this role just became available, and Brad Oscar's name was sent to us. And so we said, I knew his work. I knew his voice. I didn't know what his take would be on Tevye. So we interviewed him. Many times we audition them if we really don't know if they're right for the role. And he is one of the loveliest, funniest, sparkling people. And he has loved the role. He said he wanted to play it since he was 12. You know, yeah. He loves the role. And he had an understanding of the role. And it wasn't just shtick. It wasn't like, oh, I want to imitate Zero Mostel or something. Not that Zero Mostel's only shtick, but you didn't want to imitate someone else. He didn't want to go just for the comedy. And so we went with him. There's always a degree of chance when you hire someone, unless you know their work really well. For instance, Jeff McCarthy, who you'll be talking to later, who's the lead in All My Sons, I've worked with him for years and years. I mean, I basically called him and said, hey, do you want to do the role? I mean, I knew he would be great. The other thing we try to do is we try to ask the actors what they would like to do that would stretch them. In other words, Brad is known for comedy, 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 and he was really interested in taking on the more serious aspects of a role. Mm-hmm. Tevye was a good fit. Jeff McCarthy had done Sweeney Todd for us. He had done Mac and Mabel, Follies. He's a fabulous musical theater performer. So when I asked him to do All My Sons, it was like, wow, Arthur Miller's All My Sons. It allows us to, the artist can grow here. Marin Mazzie a couple of years ago did Streetcar. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the brilliant, brilliant musical theater performers in New York. She has a house about a half hour away. And when she heard Streetcar was up, actually a friend, we have a mutual friend, who said, I think Marin might be interested. And I talked to her. In that instance, I auditioned her because I wasn't sure Blanche was in her repertoire. And just after one audition, it was like, yes, you have the role.
Yeah.
So if we can have a place where artists can grow and feel that they're going to the next step. I mean, Chris Invar is an actor who's worked with us, and he had done mostly musicals. And he came up here, and after his first musical, I said, what do you want to do next? I loved working with him. And he said, Cyrano? I said, okay. That will be.
Why not?
You know, that,
give it a shot.
We would both grow. I would grow doing that because I want, if I'm directing it, I want to keep on growing and learning.
His nose would grow? Sure.
I love it. Yes.
How much of what you do here is paid for from ticket seats, and how much do you have to raise from the community?
Oh, gosh. Half, if we're lucky, half comes from ticket sales, if all goes well, and half comes from raising money. I am constantly raising money. I mean, my other hat is development, as you can imagine. Last year, we had a very good year, and a little more than half came from ticket sales. If we don't have a good year, then we're raising more money. So 50-50 is a pretty standard thing that theaters aim for, I think.
We are talking to Julianne Boyd, the artistic director of Barrington Stage. We're broadcasting live from Pittsfield, Massachusetts. We will continue our conversation and have more fun here in the Berkshires after this short break. Welcome back to the Roundtable's live broadcast from Barrington Stage Company on Union Street in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. We are talking to the artistic director of Barrington Stage, our host for this morning, Julianne Boyd. And we're going to be talking to the whole crew here from Dr. Ruth all the way. But while you're here, and you're going to be joining us later as well to talk about All My Sons, but give us a sense of how you came to direct the show with Mark and what that process has been like.
Dr. Ruth, all the way.
Yeah.
Well, Mark and I have worked together for many years, since 1980, but we're still children. Yeah, I believe that one. Okay, anyhow.
And always will be.
Yes, right. And sometimes, I mean, when he did Freud's Last Session, I brought in another director for that. And some plays are my cup of tea and some aren't. And also, I think at that point, I was also directing something else on the main stage. I think I was doing Sweeney. Was I doing Sweeney or something? Anyhow, so I was doing something else already, and my job is to find the right director for the show, too. And I brought in a wonderful director named Tyler Marchant to do it. And we worked on Best of Enemies last year, and that was just tremendously exciting. It was about desegregation of schools. I'm really into that, and the civil rights movement, and still, where are we, to some extent. So when Mark brought me this play, I said, I love it. I've worked with Deborah Jo Rupp before. I worked with her twice before. So we already have a vocabulary. We already talk the same language. I certainly talk the same language as Mark. I love working on new plays. So this seemed to be a wonderful opportunity.
Now, Mark has a very special place in this, doesn't he?
Very special.
I mean, he's part of the company.
It's supporting the artists. It's not only the actors, but it's the playwrights. It's Bill Finn, a composer and lyricist who's also, our Blatt Center is now named the St. Germain Stage, Mr. Finn's Cabaret, in honor of them. We can't do enough to support the artists. They don't make enough money. The critics don't always love them. They're constantly being, I don't want to say constantly. They're up for grabs.
Well, what the hell do the critics know?
Well, I agree, Jeff Allen, yeah. Sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, all you got is some guy, some frustrated actor who's doing something, I mean, what can I tell you?
That is the case sometimes, but we're hoping that that isn't the case most of the time. I think it was either John Kander or Fred Ebb. It's one of my favorite quotes. I have it up on my desk, behind my desk, and it's, the critic is the one who comes in after the battle is over and shoots the wounded.
I like it.
Now, sometimes I feel that way. Sometimes I don't.
Well, you get great reviews from Boston, from the Wall Street Journal this morning. I mean, one after another.
Those
are what we call good critics.
Yes, and a lot of wonderful local reviews, too. I mean, everything from the Albany Times Union to the Schenectady Gazette. And a lot of the, I think we have a really good relationship with critics in general. And we don't do work for the critics, as say, we hope they like our work, but I feel that my mission is to please the audience who's buying tickets and the actors. I mean, and I'm hoping the critics are, that we're all on the same page.
Yeah. Well, Roselle brought me here to see Fiddler, and I have to tell you that I just thought it was the best thing I'd seen, in my modern life, and so it was incredible that
Joe, don't argue with me. Yeah. Right.
No, I know. I'm not arguing that. I just want to know what his modern life is.
Well, somewhere from
post Weaver.
60. Now that is so cruel. And we have Dr. Ruth sitting here, who also is Weaver's fan, as well as I am. So
maybe.
I just didn't know what you meant by modern. I didn't
modern,
know if you meant...
From the time
since
I was
he was married? To, since you've been married, maybe?
No, since 20 to 50.
Is this jacket modern?
20 to 70.
I loved what he said, Joe.
As do I.
No, we've been really, really thrilled with the reception of the show. It's a deep experience, and it's funny at the same time. I think it moves anyone who can think of their parents or grandparents or great-grandparents as immigrants, any relatives that have been moved from one country to another, and I think it defines the Jewish experience, but also I'm Italian. My grandparents came over. I could identify with it because they were thrown out of their town in Sicily, in southern Italy because of the mafia. I could identify with that,
Sure.
And I think other people, in our lobby, we have all of the actors wrote down their experiences where their grandparents came from. And it is an amazing, amazing story when you think of those actors on the stage and the stories that are living with them as they're doing the show.
But back to what you were saying before, the critics obviously play a role, but it's a trust that an audience has in you as a company, that you're in the community, you're here, and that through subscriptions, through word of mouth, people know you're here, and you have cultivated a wonderful audience.
I think I couldn't put it any better. I think it's the trust that we're trying to continually, we have to make sure that that's in place, that when people come into Barrington Stage, they're expecting a certain level of production. And it's our job to always give it to them. And it's difficult to maintain, but that's the job.
And you've
got to
choose the right play.
Yeah.
There's some plays that might, Sweeney Todd, for example, is a wonderful production, fabulous. But, there's some people might not want to bring their kid to see Barbara slitting somebody's throat.
That was a hard one for us. We did not that year. I thought it was a brilliant production.
It was.
Jeff McCarthy was out of this world. But we did not do well in ticket sales that year, and so I was raising lots of extra money. I think what a theater company or any performing arts company really wants to develop is an artistic reserve. In other words, some money in a pot that if a show is brilliantly, you know, done, but it doesn't do well in ticket sales, you're not going to go, you know, have lots of sleepless nights, and really the board will get upset, everyone will get upset because you won't be able to do what you want to do the next year. So to have that artistic reserve is something really important, and that's the next step of our organization. We're 18 years old, and I think if we can just develop, that'll allow us to take more chances because we're not going to be so dependent every single year on making that 50%.
To find out all of the information that you need about Barrington Stage's amazing season, just go to barringtonstageco.org, barringtonstageco.org, or call their box office at 413-236-8888. 413-236-8888. Fiddler on the Roof runs through July 14th. Dr. Ruth All the Way runs through July 21st. Julianne Boyd, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for hosting us and for being so great. We will see you in just a few segments to talk about All My Sons.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks, Alan.
Thank you so much. Coming up, we'll meet only Dr. Ruth Westheimer. You're listening to The Roundtable live from Barrington Stage in Pittsfield, Massachusetts on WAMC.